regular meeting on Wednesday, September 27th. Call to order. I'd like to have the roll call, please.
Director Brené.
Here.
Director Angelo.
Here.
Director Colwell.
Here.
Vice President Austin.
Here.
President Wayne.
Here.
Absolutely.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
No one kneeling.
Better not.
Thank you, James. Agenda review. Agenda review. Do we have any changes, any amendments, any? We have one addition, but that was expected. Okay. Do I have a motion?
I move that we accept the agenda as presented.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. Let's move on to closed session. Well, I'd call for public comment, but I don't believe anyone's here yet. So seeing no one in the audience, we will proceed.
Well, that's for the folks at home.
Oh,
so
okay.
Pursuant to Government Code 54957, the board will move to closed session for the performance evaluation of the general manager.
Doing? Call the meeting back into order at 6:12. May I have a report from our attorney?
There's no reportable action out of closed session.
Thank you. Moving on, public comment for items not on the agenda. The public comment period provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the board on matters of interest within the jurisdiction of the district that are not listed on the agenda. If a member of the public wishes to speak at this time, public comment is limited to 3 minutes. And I don't see anybody coming forward. Would you like to speak? Okay. Moving on then to special presentations and reports. Tony Maraschino, please.
Good evening, board. Tony Maraschino. All right. We had some round samples, 6 work orders, 8 USAs, 6 customer service calls. We completed the lead and copper. That's all done. Sewer cleaning, that will be completed this week. We're going to be out on Highway 1 Friday morning at 01 in the morning to finish it up. Just because of traffic, it works out really well. We'll be working from 1 to 9:30 in the morning on Friday. We had meter reads, comet codes after meter reads, which is high consumption, low consumption, leaks, notifications to the customers. Our backhoe should be here the first week of October. We had a hydrant get hit on pier approximately 8:30 at night. When I responded, it's actually the first time I ever seen this, and all the other people that I know, you know, City of Roy Grandy, I've sent pictures to. The hydrant actually split in half, so half of it stayed, wow, and the other half went flying. And everybody I talked to, nobody's ever seen that, a hydrant break perfectly in half. But as that broke, our VFD to the booster actually failed. That's our primary booster. No big concern because we have, you know, other boosters to keep system pressure. But we also had a breaker fail, which at the yard, which we lost power at our office, which lost all alarm functions. That lasted about 2 days. Luckily, we got the VFD back up and running the very next day with the same gentleman who installed it. The breaker, we had to order that and shipped overnight, and we got that installed. So it was a little hectic week right before meter reads, and everything went really well for all the events that happened. And we also already have the hydrant back reinstalled on pier. They got hit. And the vehicle was immobilized, so we have that information also. Any questions?
Which hydrant was it?
Pier and North Swing. You'll see a little bit of water running down the street. Right, it's got a little bit of a leak. We had to reorder another gasket for it, but it is in service with a slight drip right now. And we do have a cone next to it in case the fire department does need to use it, they can. So it's just we had to get a new gasket, and it should be here in the next day or two.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes. Tony, you said it broke in half vertically or horizontally?
Vertically. And I got pictures of it.
Vertically?
Vertically. So straight up and down, you have half of it still attached to the berry, how it's supposed to be, and the other half is about 40 feet away.
Wow. How was it impacted? How did the car impact it?
Right front passenger side, and the tire completely folded underneath the vehicle. I have pictures of the vehicle also.
Wow. That just seems...
Nobody's ever seen anything like that. I've talked to California Rural Water Association, City of Rio Grande, the distributor for the hydrants. So,
was there signs of metal fatigue in the hydrant?
None that I can tell of. The hydrant was probably 50 years old.
5-0?
Yes.
Okay. Well, yes. We probably needed to replace it anyway.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Ogren is not here tonight. Steve Lieberman is at a conference, and I don't know where the Sheriff's Department is, so we'll move on to Board of Directors and Outside Committee reports. Director Coldwell?
Well, I attended the RGSP meeting. Which was on September 19th. That's the Regional Groundwater Sustainability Project. It's really a terrific and rather large project involving not only the Oceano Community Services District, but also involving Pismo Beach, Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach. And essentially, it's about an $84 million project as presented and planned so far. It's moving along in the initial stages right now. Probably next month, we should get a sample of the refining machinery, which is one of the processes for purifying this wastewater into purified water that then can be returned to the area groundwater system. Great project. It looks like it's on track and it's moving forward, and we've got a few years to go on it. So that's it.
Thank you. Vice President Austin?
Okay, I attended the last meeting of the South County Sanitation District. And basically, the only thing on the agenda was to receive the report from Liebert, Cassidy, and Whitmore on the investigation into the allegations of misconduct by Roy Grande, by the Roy Grande representative, the mayor of Roy Grande. And so after we heard the report from the attorney, and she made it very clear in her report that there were things done that put our district at great liability for a lawsuit regarding personnel issues. So there was a lot of public comment, a lot of different, you know, opinions and things. But my decision was made to vote to censor the mayor, as I took the recommendations by the firm that investigated very seriously, and I took to heart that it was the district was put in a situation where our liability and was at stake. And so their vote was 2-1 to take the recommendations and censor the mayor. And I know I did the right thing at that meeting. And my only interest, it was nothing personal. A lot of people have tried to make it personal, but it's not personal. It was sitting on the board representing this community. I felt it was in our best interest to vote the way that I did. And I stand by that vote and by my decision. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Andrew Brene.
I attended last Thursday's Zone 3 meeting. It was actually a fairly quick meeting. Just a few points. The fourth quarter budget status was given, and there was a credit that's going to be going out to all the agencies. I don't remember what the Oceano percentage is, but the total was $237,400. So I think when that comes up is when at the year when we send the payment to Zone 3, they credited it at that time. And so I think Pava will be able to give further updates there. There was a discussion regarding keeping AGP meetings televised or to go with an audio-only option for the Zone 3. After some discussion and having AGP come and give kind of a presentation about everything that they offer, it was a consensus among the board to continue that. You know, it's a valuable service in order to keep, you know, keep things open lines of communication, television, be able to stream it online. So that's going to stay for the Zone 3 meeting. The other was regarding the Lopez Spillway and just giving an update on that. So the department, the DSOD, Department of Safety of Dams, requested from Zone 3 in the county in order to submit a work plan condition assessment regarding the spillway, and so that was submitted on September 1st. There will be follow-up with that. The good news, though, is that the annual inspection was just done over the past couple months, and there were no immediate issues or repairs that were needed found. So that's good, I think, regarding the Lopez. We can all feel safe, especially going back to, you know, this, obviously, we're well aware of what happened in Oroville, but that's where this is kind of leading, to look at all the dams, look at all the spillways, and to see, you know, what needs to be done, because luckily Lopez went through a lot of retrofits back in early 2000s. Pablo was a part of that, and again, it fixed a lot of the issues that unfortunately Oroville had this past winter. So other than that, again, it was an hour-long meeting, went pretty quick, so things are good.
Good.
Director Angelo?
I don't have anything to report. Thank you.
Well, I'll throw out a couple of reports here. Last Friday, the Five Cities Fire Authority met and approved their five-year strategic plan. That will come forward possibly. They're proposing a meeting of the City Council of Arroyo Grande, the City Council of Grover Beach, and the Oceana Community Service District in one meeting to review that, because it's very obvious, looking at the strategic plan, that there's insufficient funding for the Five Cities Fire Authority. And we're going to have to look at some other potential for other funding. I also attended Ocean Advisory, and we're looking at vacation rentals. And we voted to contact the county of San Luis Obispo to get some more handle on maybe how many vacation rentals are in the Oceania area, specifically down by the beach, and where that bed tax money is going for all those vacation rentals. See if we can get some accountability to see if any of that is coming back to Oceania. I also attended with my two colleagues, Ms. Angelo and Ms. Austin, a program by L. Karen Harrison Commission Counsel for the Fair Political Practices Commission. And she was talking about accountability, and her primary message to both attorneys and elected representatives was ask for advice. If you have a doubt that there's any kind of conflict between your personal business and work on a board of directors, do not vote. Call the Fair Political Practices Commission. Find out if you are legally clear to vote, because there's all kinds of different conflicts of interest. And some of them are not real obvious even to the people. I mean, we know that if somebody from next door is asking for water service from our agency, we have to recuse ourselves. But it gets much more complicated than that. And it can even be a potential for future advantages. If I do something now and I don't see that there's an obvious way that it would benefit me personally, and 6 months from now it does benefit me personally, I could be liable. So those are the kind of things. It was a very interesting program put on by the San Luis County Bar Association. And that's what I have. Anybody else? Anything else? Okay, public comment on special presentations and reports.
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and first I'd like to speak to Director Brunet's report and the idea about AGP video. Of course, I think the Zone 3 should continue to be videotaped, but I actually think you should maybe take it a step further for Oceano and consider expanding the service that you have to include the streaming and the audio archive, because all you have is All you have is audio archive, and it is a little archaic in that it's less transparent than the videotapes. So maybe look at that in the future. I also wanted to speak to Director Austin's report and actually ask that your entire board take a look at the report regarding Mayor Hill and do so objectively. Unfortunately, it doesn't appear that Ms. Austin looked at it through objective eyes, in that the report itself, at the end of each section, differed from the summary. The conclusions in each section of the report did not carry forward to the summary. And the summary is some of the shoddiest legal work I've ever seen. The summary crucifies the mayor and, let's just say, council members in Arroyo Grande and board members on the Sanitation District Board took that opportunity to continue to mar his good name. The fact is, in one instance, the report suggests that Mayor Hill may have, using the word may, have been involved in a serial meeting. A serial meeting would include more than one board member. Well, the serial meeting that they were implying took place was with his alternate, his own alternate. That's the only person he can talk to that is a board member for the sanitation district. And then it's sustained as some sort of finding and violation of the law. Impossible. Another one. He sent an email, copied me, because he sent it on my behalf as I was asking for a particular document that he and I both knew existed. And I had been denied the document through a public record request. Flat out denied. We know the record exists. To this date, almost a year later, I still have not received it. There is new administration. I've asked for it. And I hope I get it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else want to come forward?
Patricia Price, South End, right there. I wanted to say, first of all, I know that everybody involved in the South End District is a good person. I know we're all wanting the best things for the district. We disagree passionately on a few things, have in the past and probably will in the future. Although I do know that we want the best for the district. So let me say first, I wrote a few things, and I want to say that I'm dismayed that we are in such a turmoil at the South End District. And I'd like you to know that at the last South End meeting, Mayor Hill effectively refuted all of the sustained findings of Liebert, Cassidy, and Whitmore. He went line by line, pretty much, and refuted everything. If you go to the South End website and watch starting at about 1 hour and 45 minutes, you'll see him do his rebuttal to the attorney. They go back and forth, asking questions, answering, so on and so forth. It's quite interesting. We've been spending about $25,000 a month on legal fees for the last year, and there should have been an indication that something was really wrong. The only thing that was different from previous years is we had a new administrator. What is particularly disturbing with all of this is that it could have been avoided if the board majority had listened to what Mayor Hill and a very vocal public was saying, look at this, watch this, we have to do something about it. They were warned. And they refused to do anything about Mr. Huebner's actions. He was solely responsible for acting without consulting the board on many occasions, financially, many ways. Things were not brought before the board in a timely manner, if at all. And Mayor Hill wanted to get these things addressed, and the board refused to put them on the agenda. Personnel issues were a huge issue. Now it seems that Mayor Hill is being punished for noticing things, working to get them addressed, not getting them addressed. If they had been addressed, we would have avoided pretty much,
thank you,
pretty
Ms. Price,
much all of this problem.
Thank you, Ms. Price.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hi. Mary Lucy Oceano. Proud member of Oceano, actually. I don't know. I guess this would be for the board as a whole or for Jim or Andrew underwater. You know, when the drought was declared a state of emergency, Oceano, with the leadership of Pavo, moved very quickly to change the rate structure so that we wouldn't fall into debt. And a lot of cities and towns didn't do that, and they didn't change their rate structures for about a year, which fiscally put them way behind. Well, I was real pleasantly surprised when I got my bill this last month, and the notice was put in there that because that limited small rate increase was put into place early on, my rates were now going to go down. And so the whole town of Oceano, their rates are going to go down because you as a board, the administration, put that rate in, change in place. So that's, I want to thank the water reps for that.
Mary,
secondly,
that is on the agenda for later tonight.
Oh, well, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so how could that be? Oh, this is the back of the agenda. Sorry about that. Okay. God, I really thought it started at 6 o'clock. But anyway, I've attended all the Sand District meetings. I think that as a board, you have a great representative, being a strong advocate for the people of Oceano at the Sanitation District. I think that she's very articulate. She's very well-spoken and took legal counsel's advice on not putting that plant in harm's way any further than it's already been put in. I think that she voiced her vote with strong integrity and did not fabricate any of the facts. I thought the attorney was brilliant. There's a difference between collecting raw data and writing a summary, which most of us know. So I thought that the summary report was really spot on. What wasn't mentioned, that there was probably, I'm not going to throw out numbers, about $5,500 worth of public records requests cost that went to Arroyo Grande from Julie Tacker. And I don't know what the cost will be for the sanitation district. That would be up to your rep to know. So all the records were requested from the investigation, which is about, 3,700 pieces of duplication. So that helps drive our costs up a lot. And so if we can do what we can to keep these things at a minimal cost and still keep people informed, I would greatly appreciate it. So thanks.
Thank you.
Members of the board, my name is Colleen Kugel. I am a citizen of Arroyo Grande. I'm here just to ask this board to please really listen to, and I know that you're probably not going to listen to a word I say because I'm not in your district. Okay, I understand that ahead of time. Okay, I have great respect for Linda Austin. I always have. She is a great lady and has stood up for Oceano and all the constituents. But when you go on the sanitation board, you're supposed to represent everyone that's in the district. And so in my situation, my representative has been charged with so many things that I do not believe is true. I've been in law enforcement. I've been in many different situations where investigations, I've had to be involved in them. I have written them. I've had to go over them. And there were so many flaws in this investigation. But it was taken for granted, face value. And when questions were brought up to this investigator, she couldn't even answer a couple of them, several of them. And so the thing I want you to do is really look at what this board, sanitation board, is really made up of. It is so lopsided. I am not being represented at all as a Arroyo Grande resident. And I know that probably doesn't bother anybody here because you're Oceano. But to me, the whole board is supposed to represent everyone that's on that in the district. Okay, I pay my ratepayer, and so I expect that every one of the board members are going to do that. But when my representative is voted down 2-1, 99% of the time, I'm not being represented. Okay? And I would really like this board to really dig in and investigate going through legislature and getting it a five-person board. It is a three-man board, doesn't work, never has, never will, to the fairness that every district ratepayer should have. And I think that's really what needs to happen. I understand why Linda voted the way she did. I don't agree with it, vehemently don't agree with it, because I was able to digest the investigation. Not pre-planned, not pre-comments, as what happened at that meeting. And so if you listen to everybody that comes up to the podium, really listen, you would have seen the differences in law enforcement people with all kinds of backgrounds in investigations, came up and refuted that investigation. And so that was my problem with what happened. And now, even the chair has admitted that he did something wrong also. And what's going to happen with that? He did that at a public meeting. What's going to happen with that? Something needs to happen there, okay? And so at this point, I just want to bring it to your attention and understand that you're just listening to me.
Thank you
very much.
Excuse me, I have a question, ma'am. Yeah. How do you see a five-man board being made up?
There are
three
several
cities involved.
Sure, there are several different scenarios that's been talked about. You can have two representatives. It's actually a six-man board if you want to do it that way. You can have a five-man board, one from a central, from maybe even a supervisor, somebody from the county area. Then the rest of the board made up from the local jurisdictions. You can have an all-elected one, the whole district election, so that everything is fair. The voters get to pick who their representatives are, and for the whole district, not just from your area. and not just appointed. Then it is fair. Then you can get somebody that truly is a third-party, disinterested person who can really evaluate what's going on. And I think that's the fairest way to do it. A three-man board, no matter what you do, it's not going to come out fair because there's always going to be something else going on, and I'm not, you know, that's just the way a three-man board works. And so it doesn't, we don't want it to be one-sided.
Okay.
We don't want anything else. So.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Patty Welsh. I stood in front of my council January 24th of 2017 and made some allegations against my mayor. I've not spoken since then. This is the first time I've spoken. I did that because he sits on a board that represents 37,000 people. It is not just Arroyo Grande he represents when he's up there. He represents your town, he represents my town, and he represents Gregor Beach. Somebody said that Shailene Bennett was not able to answer all the questions. I do urge that you watch the tape because she couldn't answer them because they were repetitive hypotheticals, and that's what she said, so she couldn't answer them. But do watch the tape. I think you'll find it very interesting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, Shirley Gibson Halcyon. So I do support what Director Austin said at that meeting, and I think it's been settled. And, you know, someone brought up about personnel issues. Well, basically, the chair or the directors are not responsible for personnel issues or problems. That really goes to the general manager, district manager. So there's a chain of command. If an employee has a question, they go up their chain of command. And there is no resolution by the director or the chair. So, you know, a lot of that was putting the Director Hill wanted on the agenda regarding closed session items. Well, can't put that on the agenda. So, anyway,
excuse me. Thank you.
And I am happy that you're looking into the Airbnbs. I think I know some of the places in Cambria get $10,000 a week. Now, I don't think Oceano's quite that pricey, but I think there is potential for a lot of money to be made, and Oceano should get their share. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
And next time, if I'm up talking, I would like to have the floor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Karen, I'd like to make a comment on this subject with this sanitation district.
Yes.
Jim Hill sat on this board with me, and I sat on the sanitation district for a short time because there was a lot of things going on then that I never talked about. scheduled meetings to meet as a board, they would change the time and the location. I go there to have a meeting, and they've already started, and they've already settled everything, so I wasn't needed at that time. This went on several times, involving the attorney and involving other people there. And I know when Jim and I were running for a position on this board, we had several conversations about that. He basically walked away from this board and left us hanging. And I feel like he created a lot of problems that didn't need to be created. There was no problems that he thought there were, but there were other problems that was never brought up. And I've never said anything about it because I was hoping this was all going to go behind us. We have three representatives, and the three representatives pay for everything. And I don't see any reason why we want to get 5, 6, 7, or 8 because all you're going to do is bring in a majority for one community. And I don't think that's correct. It's the same type of thing that I went through when I was on that board. You know, you're outnumbered. You don't get the information. they change things, and, you know, there's a good old buddy pat me on the back routine. And when you have three individuals, it's going to be a 2-1, or they're all going to agree, or they're all going to disagree. And I think that's your best way of doing it, because then you don't have the manipulation that they have at the sanitation district when I sat on that board. And that's just a statement that I feel, because I have been there and done that, and it was crooked.
Thank you. Moving on, item 8, consent agenda. Public comment, members of the public wishing to speak on consent agenda items may do so when recognized by the board presiding officer. To facilitate public comment, we request persons wishing to speak fill out a form, request, and give it to the general manager. Public comment is limited to 3 minutes. Have any public comment? Nothing on consent? Okay. Entertain a motion for consent.
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we approve the consent agenda.
I would second that.
Moved in.
Second.
Do you have Caldwell or?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
Moved in second, and all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 5-0. Moving on to business items. Again, I call for public comment on items A, B, and C.
I'm sorry, President White, did you move on to business items?
Yeah.
I would suggest...
taking public comment on all three.
Taking public on each one individually, and,
okay.
And especially in regards to...
item C.
Item 9C, I would suggest that you have board discussion and then take public comment.
Okay.
So
that's very good.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll take public comment only on item A, which is consideration of a recommendation to approve a job description for a solid waste coordinator, operator, and training, and add it to the district's position allocation list.
Julie Tacker, and I guess I was a little surprised at the salary. It's a little higher than I thought it would be. And the job description is a little bit more than I thought it would be. So maybe those match. But I guess I had hoped with the new approach you've had on solid waste, with kind of the policing and the cleanup days and the contributions you have made to cleaning up, is that you'd actually kind of got a handle on it or gotten ahead of it. You don't think so? All right. So my hope was that you would have, and then wouldn't maybe necessarily need a position like this. So obviously, I see nodding heads that differ in my opinion, but I do have the right to express my opinion. So thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Hi, Mary Lucy. I was actually glad to see that the garbage franchise agreement had been implemented and that these funds were received under the franchise and that this program was developed and that it's benefiting the town. We've done big cleanups for a very long time, but the difference is now is that we have a system in place. You know, it's not based on volunteers. It's working with waste management. It's putting those 5 items out that are covered under the garbage franchise. So I wanted to thank you for starting and implementing this program, and it's just another growth in the district and another service for the people. So thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else? Board discussion?
Well, I want to say that I see this individual being hired as a service to all of our customers, and I think it's an investment in our community, and I'm pleased to see it.
Yeah, I, as far as echoing those comments, and going back when we had discussed this at the board, the original discussion was really just about those solid waste coordinators. And, you know, that kind of got built out to more, well, hey, you know, maybe this person can be doing dual duties, that they can help out on operations when that's, you know, needed. We only have a 3-member staff there, you know, for the whole community. And, you know, that whole more with less thing, or kind of, you know, expanding, you know, the possibilities of what this could be, that's what I was really excited about with this. And, you know, not only the solid waste, which, you know, the program itself, it's an ongoing thing. You know, even with the past cleanup week, you know, there are still some things floating around there that, you know, are going to have to be taken care of.
They're like 3 days behind.
Yeah, and that too, you know. So, you know, and as well as giving the opportunity to whoever this individual would be, that, you know, although there's not a career path in the description itself, that they're going to get some valuable, you know, experience working with a fantastic staff on everything that Oceano has, and maybe that person will become an operator, you know, if one of these wonderful gentlemen end up, you know, leaving, retiring, whatever, that could always happen. You know, I just think this is such a good thing for the community and for our staff, both in both positions. So
I wholeheartedly agree with both of you. I remember when we had the intern that was here and the mm-hmm. programs that he got started. And if you don't have someone overseeing, like, especially with our Adopt an Alley and Adopt a Can, we need to get those going. And people in the community are very excited about it. So I look forward to this position being filled and moving on with the cleaning up and getting the community involved in beautifying our mm-hmm. town. And it will help with the boys out in the field, if, you know, have somebody that can do the job too if there was ever a need. So I'm very much in favor of moving forward with this.
Entertain a motion?
I'd like to make a motion that we approve agenda item 9A, consider the recommendation to approve a job description for a solid waste coordinator, operator in training, add it to the district's position allocation list.
I'll second that.
It's moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carries 5-0. Moving on, business item 9B, introduction of an ordinance to reduce water rates by implementing post-drought consumption charges and to reduce the supplemental water charge established in Ordinance 200501 for consideration at a public hearing previously set for October 11th, 2017, with an optional exhibit illustrating no changes at this time. And I think we all received the newest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you like to say anything about that?
President White, members of the board, item 8B has been brought in front of your board last meeting to reduce the water rates by implementing the post-drought consumption charges. There's no action required tonight. This is just an introduction to the ordinance. But the item we have here shows we provided the revenue consumption that includes the 17-18 revenue from the billing periods, and they are in green. The one in your board packet on page 21 of 47 only had 15-16 and 16-17. So we have provided the billing period that just actually went out today and was on its way to our customers. It came in higher, almost 14,000 more than what we targeted. So that was just information we wanted you to have because it's encouraging, especially when you look at our proposed transition options. So any questions about that?
Any questions? Public comment? Call for public comment on item 9B. Anyone else? Okay, this.
I think it all explains it. I think we went over it all last meeting, and
yeah.
I think it's great.
And I think too, it's important because I know we talked about it at the last meeting to talk about it again. Me coming from the Zone 3 meeting last week, you know, the additional element here I think regarding these rates is that you know, in Pavo had the chart in here, you know, as far as, well, 100% transition and on down, is that the importance of this winter coming up, it's we're all, you know, at the edge of our seats because groundwater levels are going to be measured next month. we're going to know then, you know, where we're standing with groundwater. But regarding what the winter's going to look like, it's anyone's guess at this point. Let's all hope for a lot of rain, but I think this is a good way to show, you know, the community that, you know, we're doing what we say we're going to do, but as well as we have to be good stewards as well as far as what our water situation is going to be and the fact that we have no idea, you know, how much rain is going to happen. And if we jump all the way to 100% or 50% and we have a very dry year again, and Lopez starts going down to that 20,000 acre feet, the LRP is going to stay, and we're going to have to look at changing this again. And that's the last thing we want to do to all of us in this community is band-aiding our rates because, you know, we need to keep it consistent and gradual as we're watching what happens. So, yeah.
Well, I have to say I'm disappointed. I was anticipating that we'd really get a nice, sizable rate of reduction. It's hardly ever done in public service. And now when we look at the budgetary constraints and we look at the actual figures of the money coming in, because our people have been so good about conserving water, we're not selling as much water. We're not bringing in as much money. And so that is making a sizable rate reduction less probable. And on the one hand, it's terrific because everybody's saving water. And on the other hand, it's disappointing because we're not going to be able to sizably reduce the rates. We're still working to be able to reduce them, and hopefully we'll be able to do that.
It looks like our 10% is going to be okay, certainly.
I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, from looking at the consumption, the charts we got today, just this new chart shows that they are using more water. Yeah. I don't know whether everybody realizes water is supposed to pay for itself. So if we reduce it too much, then we're going to go in deficit and we won't have enough money. At the same time, we have a fiduciary responsibility to not charge any more for the water than the actual costs of it. So this is the balancing act that we're trying to do. And we're looking at 10%, which, you know, most entities never reduce any charges. And so that's what we're trying to do, working our way down to maybe 25%. Anyway, yeah. No action on this tonight?
No action.
No action of the ordinance.
Okay. Nine C, discussion of the future general management of the district, including general manager recruitment and transition planning and or authorization for the district president to approve a contract agreement to the current general manager contract. Board discussion.
Thank you, President White and directors of the board. I, in addition to the information provided in your staff report tonight, I can also provide additional thoughts. As you know, your board has discussed transition planning for the coming end of Mr. Ogren's four-year contract, and part of that discussion was what to do as far as recruiting or how a recruitment effort would look, and potentially what your board would be looking for in a new general manager. As part of that, tonight's agenda will include a discussion of whether or not your board would want to discuss simply extending the term. The agreement that you have with your current general manager is a four-year term, and this, what your board is for your board tonight, is a discussion of an extension of that term. And I have discussed this matter with Mr. Ogren. It's not here this evening. So this is an alternative to seeking someone else, a term extension. The proposal that I would like you to discuss tonight would be a term extension. This would appear as not a renewal of the contract and the terms as stated, but essentially an amendment to his current employment agreement to extend the term by an additional 2 years. Along with such an extension. It is proposed, and there'll be the following proposals. One would be to keep Mr. Ogren's salary as it is currently today, with no increases in salary, CPI or otherwise, for the additional 2 years. Of course, matters of compensation and of all kinds are discussions that are your board must have in open session. These are not items discussed and decided in closed session. There would be some other suggested revisions to the contract as part of this amendment. One would be to amend Section 11C to reflect a shifting of the severance provisions. So the severance provisions that did apply to the third year of there was changes of the third year would now be in effect on the fifth year. And essentially, the way Mr. Ogren's severance package works is that he receives severance if terminated without cause by the board of a year's severance pay. However, if in the final year of the term, if he's only if there's only 4 months left of that final year, he doesn't receive the full 12 months. He only receives the portion left in that last year. So the amendment would need to also address an amendment to reflect the shifting and the extension of the two-year term. So other suggestions in regards to health insurance and sick leave, which are suggestions simply to bring the contract to update it so that it's consistent with other district employees. One is an amendment to Section 6F regarding the health insurance. Your board previously, in Mr. existing contract, the board has been obligated to pay all increases in health insurance. The suggested amendment to that would be to not put that burden on the board and have Mr. Ogren be responsible for the increases as are other employees of the district. A change to the sick leave policy is suggested. This is 11C and E to provide for the payout of sick leave upon a termination with or without cause or upon voluntary resignation, also consistent with other employees through the MOU. Mr. Ogren has also requested an increase of 1 week in his allotted vacation time, which would require an amendment to Section 6C. And a simple suggestion is made in regards to the material breach section. Section 12 dealing with material breach provides for termination if auto insurance certification is not provided to the district within 10 days after renewal, which is a bit harsh for that type of thing. So other than the specific terms that I just went through, which are essentially the term extension, the adjustment to the severance, salary discussion, health insurance and sick leave brought in conformance with existing policies, and the increase of vacation, and that's the material breach for the car insurance issue. There are some clerical amendments that could be as well cleaned up in his existing contract to the extent that it references an office manager that no longer exists in certain direction to staff. But with that, I will open this up to your boards for discussion or any questions to me.
Any more questions?
Well, I want to begin by saying that I think Mr. Ogren has done an excellent job, and he's proved himself very worthy. We pay him handsomely. He deserves it. He's proved his worth to the community, certainly to us as a board. I think Paavo has just done an excellent job, and that he'd continue to do that for the next 2 years if this is extended.
Well, like I said, when we hired him, you get what you pay for, and that's what I think we've done is that, you get what you, what's that other thing though that I was trying, what you pay for? Anyway, we got what we paid for. We've got the best general manager that we can have. He came in at a time when we needed someone with his expertise and knowledge, especially in the water and dealing with the county. When Pavel was at the county, he was a very big advocate for Oceano. And I was very happy when he came to work here, and I am very happy that he wants to stay another 2 years. I think we can use him, and if he wants to stay here, I'm more than happy to extend his contract for another 2 years, keep him here doing the good work he's been doing for us.
Lori?
Yes, I would like for him to stay as well. We have a lot of things in the pipeline that we dreamed of maybe happening. Water repairs, the bridge over on off of Air Park. There's several things that he got involved with that clarified a lot of stuff that we had missed and didn't understand that hadn't been taken care of already. So he's worked very hard to bring the district's levels up to get things completed, like the water department and everything else. And we've got so many things that we're working on, and he's been a very big advocate for our community. And he seems to have the skills. He knows how to get things done. In the past, we've tried to get other companies to come in and give us a bid for this, that, and the other thing, and it always was never completed. So I think we're on the right path. We're building our community back. We have a lot of things down the pipeline, and I would like to see him stay and finish those items because he knows what he's doing. And I think without that, we may not grow further to the betterment. So, yes, I would like to see him stay for another 2 years.
Is it my turn?
Go ahead.
At the August 9th meeting, Paulo had put forward his staff report regarding the transition planning efforts. And I think they were fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I think that speaks, honestly, that night itself, too, speaking of who's going to be coming after you and what you'd be looking for and the efforts to go along with that, I think boil down to the type of GM he is. And that is that he was looking out for the future of Oceano right then and there. Obviously, Mr. Pavos had a little change of heart. And, hey, you know, staying on for two more years sounds good to him. How I would equate it is almost like, you know, in sports or something, and, you know, you're kind of get to a contract deadline and you don't think anything's going to happen with that person. You're doing everything you can to plan the best for your organization going forward. And then that person goes, you know what, I'll stay here. You go, well, okay. The issues that Oceano had preceded me even living here. But seeing, as being a board member now for almost a year, Oceano was in some tough spots years ago. And something major had to be done in order to pull it from where it was. You know, I've had a lot of sit-downs with Mr. Ogren, have been here at a lot of meetings with Mr. Ogren, have attended a conference with Mr. Ogren. And what I can say is not only is that guy as experienced as you're going to get, he worked for the county for 25 years, led the efforts, as I said earlier, with Zone 3 for the spillway up there and the retrofits, has worked on other projects. Really, all we're saying is let's just keep what we're doing going, because obviously over the past 3 months or whatever, it's been working. And I think we're seeing the fruition of that. Carrie, what was it that we had brought up? Not to put you on the spot, but I am, I guess. But we had brought up a meeting or two ago the payments that we talked about, getting into the minutia of the accounting efforts here in Oceano.
Oh, the ACHs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are the little things that have been put off because there have been much bigger efforts going on here. We're now at that level. And, you know, being here an Oceano resident for almost, I think, the same time that Pavel was actually been in the position that he is. This is a fantastic community. I live on an alley. I see when people, you know, well, I see the leftover of when people dump things, and that we have a program to get those things cleaned up, to have somebody lead those efforts to make sure that that happens. Doing the, having the, you know, I'm terrible with names, but Tony, having the people come and do the pipe tests that they've done. And it was only a month or month and a half ago when brought forward that said, hey, the pipes actually down there toward pier are actually better than what we were expecting. You know, hey, all these things have been led by Pavo. And again, no change to salary, making some amendments and change, you know, a few little things here and there, but really keeping things going for 2 years. Again, I understand that it's a little different than what we talked about in August 9th in open session, but Pavo's doing a great job. And if he wants to stay for two more years, let's roll with it.
He's not here. Can't we criticize him in some fashion?
His ears better be burning at this point.
He also has paid his way in many, many things, like the USDA grants and the, was about a million. Carrie, you know what all those grants are. How much has he written grants and collected for?
I know of at least 250,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, 250,000 is a lot of money to Oceano for pipes. Anyway, yes, and of course I would support him to stay for another 2 years. I'll open it up to public comment.
Julie Tacker, and I'm not surprised at each of your comments. What I am concerned about is that transition. Whether it's now or 2 years from now, you cannot sustain somebody at $205,000. You need to be investing in your infrastructure. The grants that Mr. Ogren has gotten are above the investment from your ratepayers. Your ratepayers' money is not going to the infrastructure in the ground. It's going to that high cost of administration. And those, what did you want to see? Sizable rate reductions. Those aren't happening because your high costs associated with administration. That's the truth of it. What I would have liked to see... Sure, two more years. But I would have liked to see him ratchet the pay down to what somewhere in the neighborhood of what you expect to replace him at, so that you don't have that bar so high that the people that come in here are San Francisco, Los Angeles kinds of people who want that kind of pay. Because, like I said, you can't sustain that. The office manager position that he absorbed, or the salary that he absorbed, is gone. And he has somebody doing the accounting work now. So the general managing is really what he's only supposed to be doing. So pay for a general manager comparable to the size of your district. That's what makes sense to me. I'm not criticizing Pavo. I'm talking to you as the fiduciaries, and that you have to take that into consideration, that some $50,000 or $75,000 a year that's going to his only his salary could go to pipes in the ground, could go to that backup generator that was the number one priority when he was hired. 4 years later, it's not quite 4 years. It'll be 4 years in July. That generator is still not here. The number one priority is still not here. And $75,000 or so more than what a general manager in this position should have been making would have paid for that probably twice.
Sure.
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. Chair, please feel free to use your gavel. Thank you.
There's a lot of talk in the audience while people are trying to talk.
Yeah, it's difficult when, you know, everybody gets their 3 minutes, but when Chair White was discussing PAVO, Ms. Tacker had to chime in on the grants he received, that was a negative. I mean, really, if you get your 3 minutes, can you not sit there and afford other people that courtesy? I don't talk when anybody else is speaking. I sit there. So I think we deserve that, and I see that rudeness happening at the sanitation district, too. Laughing and clapping and talking and chatting and whispering. It's just wrong. It denigrates the board. It doesn't respect you. So for some of us that lived through Mr. Gieslin and Mr. Montemurro and numerous others, we spent a lot of money that went really down the hole. We didn't get anything for that money. I know they were paid under $100,000 or something, but when you get zero, that's a lot of money to waste. And when Mr. Ogren first came, I really did not support the idea of that much money. I thought it was too much money. On the other hand, when I see what he has done, you know, I hope he stays 2 more years. And what I see is him kind of setting the framework for the next person, that he's trying to get as much done for Oceano Halcyon as he can, and that the next person will be ready to take that on and add to that. So I see it as all positive. So I hope that you continue his contract, and maybe he'll even stay longer. That would be good for us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mary Lucia Shannon. PAVO is one of the best things that ever happened to Oceano. As living through many of those general managers, and when he showed an interest in coming to Oceano, I know that several board members were just so thankful that help was on the way. Mr. Hill had destroyed this district. Him and Julie Tackard's goal was to send us to the county, destroy us like Oceano, like Los Osos, you know, and we barely held on by a thread as a community until Mr. Ogren came. So there's several things that I can't tell you what a great administrator he is, because you already know that, but I can tell you that it's, he loves this town. He volunteers at every local event. He's part of the Oceano Kiwanis. He's part of the Oceano Depot. He's there calling numbers at the 50-50 drawings for us. He's out barbecuing with Martin Basti and the other sheriffs. And he participates in the beach cleanup, the Boys and Girls Club, and on and on and on. He loves Oceano, and he sees what's happened to us in the past, you know, that we've been taken advantage of by others around us. And he's brought some integrity to this district, so people don't think that they can just walk over the top of us anymore. Because when I came to this town, they were kicking us like stepchildren. So I can't speak highly enough of him. And I just think that he helps us all sleep better at night, because I know that my assets and what I contribute to this district are in good hands. And I also know that my community has enough water to sustain us. So I hope you support him. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Well, I think we as a board should consider a motion where we would authorize President White to meet with council, because there will be certain drafting issues in order to complete our objectives as discussed here this evening. The contract will just need to be clarified some. Okay, so I would...
Before you make a motion, Director Caldwell, if I could just clarify the procedure then. I mean, I think to following your suggestion, you're suggesting that the board would authorize President White to work with me to execute an amendment to the employment agreement.
Precisely.
Okay. May I quickly go over the terms that I outlined previously, just so that it's very clear that you're amending in a very specific way.
Please do.
So that we can get it done without coming back. Okay. So, as I understand it then, we're going to amend the general manager's agreement to reflect an amendment to the term. This is Article 4. To increase the term, the initial term, by 2 years. Section 11C regarding severance will also be amended to reflect the same provisions that currently exist, but to reflect the additional 2 year actual two years of the term, that the salary of Mr. Ogun will remain current and constant as it is today for the next 2 years. Section 6F regarding health insurance will be amended to be consistent with policy so the district is not paying for any increases in costs. Article 11 C and E in regards to sick leave will be amended so that sick leave will be paid for termination with cause, without cause, and upon voluntary resignation. There will be an increase of 1 week of vacation allotted, which will be an amendment to Article 6C. Article 12D will be amended so that the failure to provide the proof of car insurance won't be a material breach if not provided within 10 days. And in addition, I would request your board authorize clerical changes that don't substantively change the contract to reflect the current organizational structure of the district, such as any references to Mr. Ogun's ability to delegate to an office manager will be delegations to the business manager and those types of clerical changes. So when you make the motion for the amendment and authorize President White, it would incorporate your authorization to make those changes.
Thus, I would make a motion that we as a board authorize President White to meet with Council Minnering in order to effect the changes just discussed concerning the two-year extension, the severance pay, that the salary would remain the same, that health insurance and sick leave would be amended consistent with other district employees, that the vacation period be 4 weeks, that we also amend Section 12D to remove the unfathomable insurance requirement, and also that the necessary and consistent clerical changes be made.
Second. I'll second it.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. This is just a roll call.
I would do a roll call.
A roll call vote, please.
Director Caldwell?
Yes.
Vice President Austin?
Yes.
Director Angeles?
Yes.
Director Vermeer?
Yes.
President White?
Yes. Thank you. Moving on, item 10, hearing items. We have none. Do we have any late received communication or any communications, written communications? Seeing none. Future agenda, I think we've got that. Anything else? And we've got the future hearing item, a water rate reduction on October 11th. Okay.
I make a motion that we adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned at 7:24 and a half.